Hey everybody, it's Eric, and thank you for checking out another HatchetCast episode here on the HatchetCast podcast. And today I have Chris with me, as per usual, and Roy is pushing the buttons there in the back. But today we have a really interesting line of topics that we want to cover. And so Chris, welcome, as per usual.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back. I don't know why you guys keep having me back, but here I am again.
Oh, great. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did, yeah.
You actually watched
the
Super Bowl?
I watched maybe about 2 minutes of it, opening kickoff, and that's about it. Mm. I think the Super Bowl staged. Let's just address the elephant in the room. I mean, does anyone actually believe that the Chiefs won in overtime? Oh, it's amazing, great. Panda Taylor Swift up in the balcony cheering her.
Doing a little satanic ritual.
Yeah, with her hands. People probably saw that. And Travis Kelce getting that big Pfizer deal, $20 million.
Where did he come from?
Just happens to win the Super Bowl overtime.
So $20 million for Pfizer? That's his contract?
Dude, they bought his soul. They bought his soul straight up.
That's insane.
He literally sold his soul.
Yeah. To a corrupt organization that is, in my opinion, literally killing people.
Yeah.
And we're funding it. So think about that. Nobody knew who he was. First, it was Taylor Swift. He started dating Taylor Swift. And I was like, I bet you dollars to donuts this guy is going to get some sort of big deal or contract or his, like, then all of a sudden, all of the documentaries started coming out about him and his brother on Amazon.
What were they about? What were they about?
I mean, just like their personal lives off of the field. I didn't watch it. Who would want to watch it? Boring.
Scoff.
It's basically just media deals.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, more and more media deals coming
it's
up.
Just money just being pumped their way.
Yeah.
You can see that with actors and actresses in Hollywood all the time. We've talked about this. Like, all of a sudden, randomly, like, some actor or actress will come out of the middle of nowhere, and they just push them. They're in every single movie. Just insert them wherever we can, right?
Yeah.
Who's a good example of that? Who's a good actor?
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. Nobody knew who that guy was, and then all of a sudden, he's in every single movie. The Rock.
The Rock, dude.
I don't know. I mean,
The Rock.
I get it. Yeah, he's a big WWE guy that requires some acting, but
he's
literally in everything.
Stuff. Yeah, he's in everything.
And the thing is, they're not even good actors.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if they were Robert De Niro, but it's like you can't compare The Rock and Robert De Niro as far as acting skills. So why is he in every movie? Why is he like the action star? If I'm putting together a movie, are you picking The Rock as your first choice as an action movie star?
I'd pick Chris Brown.
You're darn right. That's the right answer.
I think there's very few. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of movies, so I could be completely wrong here, but I don't think there's very few male actors that have that Sylvester Stallone. That era, you know, that Predator, the Terminator,
right?
Era, the blood and gore action movie. I don't think that's completely lost.
Yeah, agreed.
So now you have a big, muscled up, kind of more of a soft character.
Right.
I think he just kind of fits into it because our society is obviously soft, right?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you could see that with the nowadays. Like, think about action movies now. It's like the Fast and the Furious movies that they've done a million bajillion times.
Yeah.
It's Transformer movies that they've done a billion jillion times. And there's nothing new. There's nothing new that's being created. It's just refabricated sequels, just garbage that they're just spewing out to people that is now Hollywood, right? It's just...
Did you watch the interview with the one black comedian? He got interviewed on a podcast. I think it was some old ex-NFL players podcast. It blew up. It happened the first week of this year. And he talks in depth. He says, anybody that is famous, that is getting pushed, if they're in the magazines, if they're in the movies, if they're in this, he says, it is 100%. It's the way that things are done in Hollywood, inside of that, behind closed doors. But you are giving up certain virginities.
Mm-hmm.
And by the producers and by the people who run those movies, okay, cool, yeah. Like, here's, you know, here's what's, you know, you want this deal, here's a chance of a lifetime. There's actually, you ever watched that Orange is the New Black, that show?
Yeah.
You ever heard of that show, Orange is the New Black? There is the lead girl in that show was on a podcast as well. And she was talking about, she was like, I was approached. You know, there's other girls that were on the show, and all of a sudden they started getting like these big deals and model gigs and commercials and lines roles for other movies and getting real big stuff, you know, offered to them. And she was approached multiple times asking about, do you want to drink the golden juice? And she's like, you know, the golden juice. Like, what is the golden juice? Like, is it an actual liquid, or is it like, it's the golden juice? Like, you're gonna, you drink this, you're pretty much selling your soul.
Yeah.
And giving up certain things. And part of that is humiliation rituals. That's why, like, whenever you see, like, Kevin Hart, he made this whole thing about, like, I'll never wear a dress, when he was a comedian and he was just doing comedy. But then there was that one SNL skit where he came out and what was he wearing?
A dress.
A dress. Or, you know, you get, like, these famous people, they go out on a red carpet walk and they're in a dress, or they do a concert in a dress. And it's all part of this humiliation ritual. And this comedian, he's a huge comedian. In fact, he was in he did a bunch of big movies back in the day, but he was like, they would approach him and he was like, no, I can't do that. Like, I'm not doing that. And that's why he was pushed over or glassed over, like said, okay, cool, you don't get any of these opportunities. But now he's like, well, Kevin Hart's in a lot of movies. Yeah. And all this other stuff. And he also said he wouldn't wear a dress. So it's just interesting to see, like, the Hollywood elite, the all that type of stuff, it's all, they're just the spokesperson, they're the voice for the cabal. And to me, the NFL and the Super Bowl and all that type of stuff, it's bread and games.
Yeah.
You know, it's just look over here, don't worry about the border, don't worry about what's going on, just pay attention. Oh, Taylor Swift and Jiminy Kelsey or whatever his name is. They're friggin', you know, what's going on over there? Like, even the things that are confrontations, like even when Will Smith smacked Chris Rock on the face, that was just a distraction, man.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yeah, it's a bread and circus show. And there was a really good quote that someone said, or it was some sort of post on Instagram, but it was like, if we as a people could spend the amount of energy that we do on the Super Bowl, one game, as to fixing the major issues in our country, I mean, be fixed in a matter of months, right? Because we just focus so much of our energy on things that don't really matter, honestly.
Mm. I think it goes back to our conversation. I think we had this a few weeks ago. People just looking for some way of escaping reality.
Yeah.
And they it's either it's football, it's whatever, you know, TV series. We've always wanted to fantasize and live out some type of dream or something, you know, whether it was a football player or that you're, you know, you're in the movie Bloodsport and that's you, you know.
Yeah, well, it's literally in the words, fantasy football.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever played, I've been in leagues in fantasy football, full disclosure. guilty as charged.
Wasn't expecting to hear that today.
No, but I was, and I was, it makes you fully invested in it because you got a pool, right?
Yeah.
And whoever wins the money. So it's like, and it's also a conversational piece, you know, that you could talk to people around work, like, how'd your team do? How did this person do? And it doesn't matter, but it gets you hooked in. It makes you look at different players and who you're going to start that week and who the matchups are and what their stats were before that. I mean, there's just, it's such a deep dive. It can literally just get you sucked in.
Here's a question. Is the fantasy football also a reason why things are scripted to make the bets go a certain way for certain players? Oh, okay. How about this? You'll be the winning bet for fantasy football, because now there's money involved outside that's attached to how the game is swayed. And to your point, like, the NFL, all sports, and which I have another thing, all sports was a getaway. It was a way to escape reality, as a way to be able to take the stress off of the week. But They can't, and that's how they can't let you have that. They have to involve their agenda. They have to involve their propaganda, their message. You have to be full-fledged into it no matter what. There's no escaping it.
Mm-hmm.
It's always there.
I mean, that's the nature of the word sport. It's fun.
Yeah.
Sports are designed to allow you a break from politics or, you know, the world itself. Obviously, in everything in moderation, right? You can get too sucked into it to where as a society, our priorities are completely shifted into focusing on this that doesn't really matter. I mean, take salaries and wages, right? People complain all the time, like, we don't pay teachers enough. We don't pay firefighters enough or police officers. And it's like, well, you're part of the problem because you're watching this, and these, you know, sports players are getting paid millions and millions of dollars.
Just, what is Patrick Mahomes? It's, I think it's over 500 million.
Yeah. Insane.
Over 500 million. So basically he's getting, I may be incorrect, so put it down in the comments, but I believe it's over 500 million for like 10 years. So $50 million a year. And then plus whatever his endorsement contracts are. I mean, more power to him, obviously, if people are out there willing to just throw that money towards you. I mean, more power to you. That's, I mean, a capitalist country, you know, earn your money. But it's absolutely insane where, you know, we have gotten to the point in time where we value our entertainment so much because we're trying to escape from reality that we're just willing to allow millions and millions of dollars to just get thrown to the side, you know. Meanwhile, San Francisco's quarterback, what's his name?
Purdy.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
he's, I think he's $23 million is what his contract is or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's relatively low. His equals out to being like $300,000. He's sharing an apartment or house with a teammate.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was just kind of crazy. He's got a big pay deal coming his way.
Yeah, he definitely does. He probably earned it.
Yeah, he did clearly with this season, but it's just like, the amount of money that's being thrown at this and being propped up is insane.
See, here's what I'll also say to that also, and kind of going back to the propaganda piece. Did you see that every single sports league, every single one, wrote a letter to Congress about gun control?
Really?
Yeah. The NHL, the MLB, the NFL.
Even the NHL did?
Everybody. Wow. NASCAR, every single major sports league combined together and wrote a letter to enact gun control or pleading for gun control to Congress. That was leaked on Instagram.
How many of those sports players had encountered a mass shooting? Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
Well, they got security.
Right.
You peasant, you don't have the luxury of security. In fact, you shouldn't even have the luxury of a gun to be able to protect yourself.
But they have, armed security out the wazoo. Yeah. All this being said, literally, if you just their profession just evaporated from society, would society change?
Well, here's the thing: in my opinion, and I actually saw this when I saw pictures and stuff of the Super Bowl on Instagram or whatever. It didn't look like there was a full stadium. There was a lot of missing seats, like empty seats. That was kind of shocking to me. Like I've always seen, like the Super Bowl's always packed. Everybody's trying to get in. There was, like, by the looks of it, there was quite a lot of empty chairs at the Super Bowl. So my question is, and you see this in the movie business is bleeding money from every orifice. Mm-hmm. Why? How are they even producing movies? How are they even doing it when they're not making any money? I don't understand how they're making money. How's the NFL making money? People aren't, in my opinion, anybody I talk to, I haven't heard NFL football talk, like regular football talk around the water fountain. Like, I haven't heard that in a long time. Now, it could be because who we are with all and around all the time, guys and stuff like that.
I think that goes into there's a lot of other topics that we discuss. We no longer, like there was a time where I was relatively large into watching football.
Same.
Yeah. I enjoyed watching football, but I don't anymore because it was one of those things that, you can't just leave it alone and let me enjoy a football game. We have to bring protests in. We have to do everything else.
Yep.
Okay. You have to bring all this propaganda in. They just shoving crap down my throat so I can't sit there and watch and enjoy a football game. Like I even attempted to at the beginning of the season. And I still couldn't because every time you would pop in, you got crap wrote on the field. You got you're pushing racism down our throats left and right.
End racism.
Like
I think my brother is probably one of the biggest football fans I know. Does the whole thing, the league and all that stuff, and he has stopped watching football. Yeah. So how many people out there are like my brother who literally lived, breathed, everything was football to a point of nauseam, is now no longer watching it? How many people are like that?
I tell you, there's so many normies out there, though, dude.
Yeah.
Like, even working at a gym, it's like, even people that I know are quote-unquote red-pilled are still like entranced in the game and what they're doing and what college team is playing. It's like, dude, you didn't even go to that college.
Yeah.
You have no investment into that whatsoever.
You never even went to college in general.
Yeah. It's like, I think it was a line in a movie. It's called A Bronx Tale, and he's talking to the gangster, and he's like, yeah, the Yankees suck this year. And he's like, dude, Mickey Mantle doesn't give a crap about you. The New York Yankees don't care about you. They don't care about how you're doing, right? Why should you care about them?
Yeah.
And that was like kind of a like a big thing as a sports fan, right? Because I was like thinking to myself, well, yeah, I mean, they appreciate the fans, right? They give lip service to that, but do they actually care about me? No, right? So why am I putting so much investment into them?
Yeah.
Like, I would literally be at points where if my sports team lost, it would change my mood.
Wow.
To where I was that much invested into it. It's like, all right, we need to pump the brakes here about this. Like, yeah. It shouldn't change my emotions.
Well,
right?
It goes to show how easy it is to be able to get you hooked into nonsense. And that's like, I think with after 2020, I feel like a lot more people are waking up to the nonsense and waking up to the indoctrination. It's the same way I feel like people have woken up to the mainstream media. They're waking up to the NFL. They're waking up to movies. They're waking up to all these things going like, man, there is just crap everywhere. I just can't get away from it. I just can't get away from the agenda. I'm just going to be done watching anything.
Right.
And now the movies that are popular are the ones that are free of that. That's why Top Gun did so well.
Right.
Like in 2020, whenever it came out, it did so well, not because it was a superb movie, like, oh my goodness. It was an average movie probably in 2015,
yeah,
or 2020, you know, 2012 or whatever. But because it was free of all the messaging,
mm-hmm.
It was a hit.
Yeah, you could just watch and enjoy the movie.
Yeah,
I didn't have to worry about what Tom Cruise's sexual preferences were.
Yeah,
you know, or how many random political ideologies were just awkwardly, randomly inserted throughout the movie in the dialogue that just takes you out of the movie, just turns
like
you
in
off.
Star Wars.
Oh my gosh. My goodness. Yeah, so yeah, Star Wars is a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
Really anything that Disney touches just
turns into poop.
For the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part.
I would say for every part. There's nothing, you cannot tell me a movie or show that has been pushed out recently in the past year that
in
is
the past
not.
Year, I would agree. I would agree.
Did you know there was 4 Pixar movies that came out?
No, nor do I care.
You know why nobody knew?
No, I don't even think.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, no one cares.
No one cares. It's trash. Like Pixar used to be, I remember it used to be like a big deal when Pixar pushed out a movie. It was like, oh, sweet, Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, wow, Up. That was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like, they can't get enough people to try and look at stuff. That's why they're streaming everything, trying everything possible. They're bleeding money from every orifice. And it's because I feel like people are waking up. That's my point. I feel like people are finally waking up to the fact, even the normies,
mm-hmm.
quote unquote.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that say they're woken up, but still continue to watch this stuff, continue to watch sports, getting, again, totally involved in sports just because I get it. It's a family function. It's a family event. It's something that you do together. You do on Saturdays, you do on Sundays, right? But in my opinion, when you got so many other major issues, there's got to be a time where you turn off the football, like maybe focus on things that we need to take care of in this country and be a little bit more involved in.
So one of those things that obviously is being neglected that I think is honestly one of the biggest points politically that is going to be a big point of contention that a lot of people, according to polls, mainstream media polls, is the border. And we've talked about this before, but some of the facts that we didn't talk about, and I actually was watching an interview with an MS-13 gang member who was saying it's not Latin Americans that are coming across the border in mass.
Mm-hmm.
It's people from Africa. It's people from China. It's people from these Arab Middle Eastern countries. Those are the ones coming through the border in mass. And in fact, there is actually a Border Patrol agent that gave this document to a journalist. It was a Chinese paper, like a pamphlet written in Chinese, saying, here's the instructions of where to go, what organization to meet with, what time to be there, what you're going to be provided, where you're going to be dispersed. Once mm-hmm. you get to your destination, they already have spots for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally troops getting their orders, essentially.
Yeah. There was a good interview. Brett Weinstein gave an interview with Tucker Carlson. And he basically went down to where it all starts and just actually followed the path of the migrants. And it starts in Ecuador because they don't require passports to get there. So if I can go in there, I don't need a passport. They don't require a passport. Perfect. So that's where it starts. And they're actually building a bridge that goes into what's called the Darien Gap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's being funded by World Health Organizations, like the United Nations organizations that, again, allows an easier path for all these migrants to go through. Again, it's kind of going back to what you were talking about. Is like, well, why? Well, I mean, every politician, including one of the politicians, a Democrat by the name of Dick Durbin, actually said this. He was like, we need to change the population. We need to make white people the minority in this country so we can change the political landscape, right? So that's what they're doing. Well, it's multifold, right? Evaporate the border so you don't have a country. Again, cause chaos because you're not vetting anyone who's coming in. And three, it helps to your political advantage because all these people are going to change the demographics that are going to vote a certain way. Tucker Carlson's been talking about this. Even Joe Biden 10 years ago talked about this. It was like an interview that he did back in, I think it was, I want to say 2012, when he was either running for president at the time or was vice president.
I think it was VP.
But yeah, vice president, if it was 2012, basically talking about how the future is not white. So and he's talking about how migrants coming in, for the first time in our history, whites will be the minority. And he's talking about how it will help them politically, give them a political advantage to that. So this is what they want. I mean, it's multifold, but like politicians have physically come out and said all this stuff. And, you know, when it starts to happen, people are surprised by it. People are like, wow, why is this happening? This is crazy. Wow. It's like, if you just did a little, again, we talked about football being a distraction. If you just do a little bit of digging, if you just do a little bit of paying attention, not even that much.
Yeah.
They're talking about what they're doing. It's out in the open. Like, all their white papers talk about this. If you just do a little bit of research on what the goals of the United Nations, of all these World Health Organizations, they all talk about the same goals, right? It's a plan of disruption, distraction, and then come in to take control. You saw that with 9/11, right? With the World Trade Centers. What was passed as a result of that?
Anyone? I keep seeing the GI Bill. That's not at all what it is.
The Patriot Act.
Patriot Act.
Ding, 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 ding. We can surveil you. We can tap into your phone records. We can spy on all your emails now. It gives us permission to do that because...
Got to fight terrorism.
We got to fight terrorism. And we elected the politicians that were, oh yeah, rah, rah. Yeah, let's pass this. Sounds like a great idea. Well, it didn't work out too well for Edward Snowden and Julian Assange, who are now, what, in different countries? Because they were whistleblowers. Snowden,
he's actually, Russia gave him asylum.
Yeah, and he's still there.
Yeah.
He's still there. And so I remember, and this is how much my political viewpoints have changed, is I remember back during that time is questioning Edward Snowden and be like, maybe he is a traitor.
Yeah, I remember that too. I'd be like, this guy's a scumbag.
Yeah, it's like, they painted him as that, as like some sort of, Benedict Arnold, like that he would betray our country. And he's like, no, this is wrong. Like, I don't care what people think. Like, I don't care if I'm exiled. I have to do what's morally right here because this isn't what I signed up for. And it really is sad that we have to rely on whistleblowers to get all of our information because our media doesn't tell the truth about anything.
Mm.
We have to rely on people just coming in from the inside and actually talking about this and exposing it. I mean, take JFK, for example. It's like we still don't know. They actually physically have not come out and said who killed JFK, giving us a straight answer. Who was it? The magic bullet theory was a total joke. It wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald. We know that, and that's what their official statement was initially. We know that's complete crap. So who did it? But we have to rely on a CIA whistleblower, on Tucker Carlson saying, I'm pretty sure the CIA was involved in this, killing an American president. Our own government killed our own president.
So that kind of leads me into the next thing was, did you watch, because this is related to what I'm about to bring up. Did you watch the Putin interview?
Yes. I watched every moment of that one.
Okay.
Unlike the Super Bowl.
Unlike the Super Bowl. That was my Super Bowl.
Honestly, it was more entertaining.
It was more entertaining. It really was.
It was a fantastic backstory of history.
Yeah.
Not that I'm like, I can't sit here and say that I'm a Putin fan or anything like that, but yeah. But I mean, he was kind of a man that controlled an interview.
Yeah.
So
I think that what I brought up was, is that in that interview, what he asked Tucker Carlson, or actually no, Tucker Carlson asked him, because he was talking about all the instances where all these agents, he would talk to a president, hey, can we join NATO? And he's like, yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, or let me, I don't see a reason why. Let me get back to you.
Yeah, and then goes and talks to his agencies, and he comes back like a dog with his tail between his legs, says, no, we can't. So who's running it? Is it the president, or is it these agencies? The NSA, the DEA, the ATF, the FBI, the CIA, all of these agencies, in my opinion, that's who's running the country. It is not any elected official. Like, the elected officials are done. They're just a formality now. Like, oh yeah, keep the process running. Like, but at the end of the day, you want to know the federal government's being run by? It is being run by all these agencies.
Oh, 100%. And he even said that anytime that we had promising steps toward joining NATO, the CIA would just squash it. Like, they would just like...
like, just, no.
Yeah, it's not, no, it's not happening. You know what I mean? Like, he even talked about, I had great relationships with George W. Bush, right? Even Trump, I had a really good relationship with. But he was essentially insinuating that those guys aren't making the calls.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not running the show.
You know what I mean? And Tucker Carlson asked him several times, which is interesting. He asked him straight up, like, have you been in contact with Biden during this, since the invasion? Like, have you talked to him? He's like, I don't even remember the last time I talked to Biden. He's like, how could you not remember? He's like, I don't remember every conversation with every like political leader. Like, yeah, I just
but
don't
he's
know.
Also, but he's also, he's like, he's so insignificant in the hierarchy within
That's
the American government that he doesn't even remember talking to some, because he's a nobody.
Right.
The president of America is nobody. Who is the ones that he actually asked, hey, have you gotten a message back from the CIA? Multiple times to his KGB office. That's who he knew was going to provide an actual answer.
Yes.
He wasn't asking the president. He was asking his KGB officers to get in contact with the heads of the CIA and their counterparts and say, get me an answer.
Yeah. So I thought it was really interesting. Another good question that Tucker asked was, you know, what would it take for this to end now? Because I was hoping, when the last conversation we had this podcast, like, I was hoping that he was going to ask this question, and he didn't. He's like, what will it take to end this? And he's like, you all need to stop sending weapons. Stop sending weapons to Ukraine. It's like, it's not about a conversation with Biden putting an end to it. He said, it's your government supplying the weapons to the Ukrainians, sending money, sending weapons to them. It's like, if you just stop doing that, that's going to alleviate like 90% of the problem, because where is most of their funding coming from? It's coming from us, because we're the biggest funders of NATO.
Yeah.
Which again is a whole nother conversation as to why we're the biggest contributors of NATO, which I talked about before. But again, it could very end very quickly, but we're willingly pushing this into a more serious situation.
You know, it's funny because I hear like these politicians, the ones that are saying, like, what's the one dude from South Carolina?
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, ding dong. Freaking this dude. He's freaking going over and he's saying, we have to keep sending troops. We have to keep sending money. We have to keep, otherwise, Americans are going to be sent over there. And it's like, dude, the Ukrainian people are suffering the most from that because they're the ones dying on the front line. So we're using them as cannon fodder.
Yeah.
To achieve our means. Like, think about how inhumane that is. We are literally just throwing bodies at or forcing that country to throw its own bodies. That population is going to be one of the fastest depopulated of countries in the world soon.
Yeah,
they're going to be extinct.
Yeah, like, I don't know what they're going to do. It's like, eventually you just run out of people.
Are you going to rebuild? How is Ukraine going to rebuild? Like, give me that answer. After this is all done, how is Ukraine going to rebuild itself? Not just infrastructure. I'm talking about the population. How is the population going
to
come back?
Yeah. You would first have to dictate when is there going to be an end in sight, which nobody can figure out. Like, if they're just going to keep escalating this, if they're just going to keep throwing bodies at it and more money at it, it's like, any general or anyone who has talked about this is saying that Ukraine is going to be irrevocably just destroyed moving forward for generations. Like, you just destroyed an entire country. There's no, what you were saying, how do you rebuild? You can't, because so many people have died at this point. And all the rich people that would fund something like this have left. Nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
Like, the richest people of Ukraine they're not there. They're gone. Like, who would want to stay there?
Dude, I think that the one point is anybody, and this is where I caution people, is don't be for Ukraine and don't be for Russia. At the end of the day, that's what they want you to have. They want you to be either on one side or the other, Ukraine or Russia. That's what they want. If you're not for Ukraine, then you must be for, how about this? What about the American side? What happened to that side? Is that side still available? Is that still an option? Is that still a choice? How about the American side? Mm-hmm. And let's just stay on that side. And the whole point of that interview, I was going, America doesn't have a side in this conflict. Why are we there?
Yeah.
There's a deeper meaning or a deeper reason behind it besides just, and I think the give up answer is like, oh, well, it's just for money laundering and people to get rich. Okay, I think it's a side benefit, but there's a deeper reason for why they're there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a much deeper reason. And what is that? What is the reason for that? You know, and how is that playing in towards what the end state is always going to be? And we know this as believers. What's the end state? A one world government. It's mm-hmm. coming.
Yeah.
That is part of it is the one spoke in the cog of what has to happen to be able to achieve that end state.
Well, yeah, and that's a good point from a Christian perspective, a biblical perspective. It's like another day ending in Y, another, you know, fact that just proves the Bible is correct, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's the whole reason why they want to evaporate borders, because if you have borders, you have individual countries, and if you got individual countries, you don't have one world government.
Yeah.
Right, so that's what they're doing in Europe. That's what they're doing in the United States, and not only that, but Putin mentioned this in his interview: is the collapse of the dollar. You have to have a one world currency as well. So he's basically talking about, you all are shooting yourselves in the foot, right? Like, you funding this war and printing out billions of dollars in this, you're devaluing your own dollar. Because Tucker was like kind of pushing him on this, like, why don't you use the dollar anymore? Why is everyone going away from the dollar? He's like, you're doing it. It's like, it's nobody's fault except your own. You're doing this to yourself. Why would a country purposely destruct itself? Border-wise, militarily, and financial-wise. Why would a country do that to itself willingly? Doesn't make any sense. So there has to be other powers at play that are doing this. Maybe it's the three-letter agencies. Maybe it's some sort of higher world order cabal.
I think it's that. I think the three-letter agencies are just another cog in the wheel.
I agree.
I think
they're just a front.
They're just the muscle that's moving things into effect and that are guiding these things. They're just the muscle. They're just the ones following the orders. But at the end of the day, it's like you said. What I think Putin doesn't understand is the powers behind that. I think he thinks, oh, it's just the traditional West just having poor policy and doing these things because they're just not thinking about it. And they have these, you know, far left ideals that are causing all this problem. Mm-hmm. And I think he doesn't understand. Nah, man, this is by design. And
what is their biggest fear? What is their biggest threat?
Who, Russia's?
No, just the world.
America.
And the reason why is because what?
America. The American idea cannot exist.
We are the last living free country.
Yeah.
No one has ever survived this long as a free country.
I would say free society.
Correct.
Like free society. Our culture, the American culture and the American society has not happened before. And that it's not that just the federal government is proof of the country itself is done. Like, as far as a governmental system, it's over. You've got people who are being politically persecuted for their political ideals. Nobody's talked about the fact there's a bunch of people in prison still.
Yeah, right.
Still haven't even been charged, right? Then you've got all of these other people who are, you know, destroying their cities, blah, blah, blah. And they're doing it because they're trying to destroy. They've already destroyed the government. Now it's time to try and crush the actual idea of the American dream, or the American as itself as a free person.
Yeah.
With free thought.
Yeah. And I think through that, we're just expediting the process. I'm just curious, what are they going to do next? So what's the next step? If you're trying to crush and just get rid of the United States completely, what's your next move?
I think the next move is you go to war with the competitor. Who is the competitor to a one-world system?
Russia.
And?
China.
BRICS. The BRICS nations are the ones that are the competitor, because if you have a one-world currency that is done for the West, then the East is the opponent. And the way that you get rid of that, that one takes out a lot of people who were raised in the American way of life. You take a lot of them out. You take out their military. You go global or nuclear. Now you take out a lot of these people who have that. It's a lot less people to, can, you know, you end up winning, but for a high cost, which they want. It's got to be a high cost. Why? Because the less people there are, the easier it is to manage. They've always been about depopulation. Why? Mm-hmm. Less people, easier to control.
Easier to control.
So, I mean, I think, in my opinion, this is Eric's just train of thought of how things will probably play out. It will eventually go to where there's a collapse in society, and it will go to where either the American continent will have a civil conflict, plus at the same time a world war that is triggered. So either be a world war first, and then there will be disruption where the country itself goes into civil war because they're just done with it, and then things go nuclear. And the only way to end it, similar to how the nuclear option is what ended World War II, right? It was nuclear that ended that. What is the next big thing to end a nuclear world war? UAPs.
Mm. Yeah.
Something that is outside of humanity that comes in to stop it all, to stop humanity from destroying itself.
To unite people under...
To unite people under one banner.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of religions would just crumble apart because they're seeing some sort of outside force if they're claiming that they're the creators of the world, right? It really comes down to, again, we talked about this, Christians really actually believing what they believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to believe that now, because in the words of Risky Krisky, it's going to get worse before it gets worse.
Yeah.
So if you're already folding now over COVID, right, it's going to get worse. So you got to be able to be grounded in the word. You've got to be able to be grounded in what God says, what Jesus says, and really hold on to that. Because in an ever-changing world, things are constantly changing, where truth is completely skewed. Up is down, left is right, black is white, right? The only truth at the end of the day that we have is the word, right? The word of God. So if that's the grounding truth, you should be able to stick to it regardless of what people say, what the media says, because you sure can't rely on them, or what anyone else says, right? Yeah. I mean, that is the only thing that we have at the end of the day. So for me personally, when I get burnt out with stuff, it's like I have no other choice but to go to the Word.
Yeah.
Because that's my source. Where else am I going to go? Especially you get recharged.
Yeah.
So for me, that's big. And, you know, I obviously would encourage Christians out there, like, now's the time. Now's the time to get yourself spiritually ready. Now's the time to get yourself ready as far as scripture, right? I mean, memorizing scripture.
It's the time of Joseph before the famine.
Yeah.
Remember when Joseph had the time, the 7 years of plenty, to prepare for the 7 years of famine. And that's why I've always said, I feel like the UFO agenda, the UAP agenda, it's not like some random distraction. It plays a role. It plays a very big part of what is coming.
Yeah.
And I think that is the option that I believe will be played, because it has to be something that's outside of humanity that is able to come in to control things. And it will come in a way where it's like, you know, in Revelation it says they'll be doing signs and wonders.
Yeah.
Right? He will come back and do signs and wonders. It didn't say he's going to do a technology show. He's going to do signs and wonders. He'll do things that are unnatural, that will blow the mind of the world, where they go, this is the chosen one. This is the Messiah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of people think of it in like a holy, like he's going to come back in a robe and, you know, like, oh yeah, it'll be so, but that's not the case. I think it will be heavily involved in technology. I think it'll be heavily involved with this UAP agenda, because it's the perfect cover, right? Mm-hmm. Even when you have shows like Ancient Aliens on History Channel asking the questions, what happens to religion if aliens came back? And they had experts on that channel saying religions would crumble. And that's actually something that government officials have asked professors and stuff at like MIT, or not MIT, but like Harvard and all these stuff, saying, hey, religious scholars, what would happen if we revealed that there was aliens? And they all say the same thing. All religions would crumble.
Wasn't it you who found that story about NASA was hiring philosophers?
It was $1 million budget to do that for a project.
To hire like philosophers to, I guess, be able to theorize how humans would react to
aliens,
coming and introducing themselves.
Yeah, what would be the effects on religions around the world if that was revealed?
Yeah.
That was their, it's like, that's a very interesting thing to put on the budget for the fiscal year. Like,
right. And it's happening now. It's like, so to the way to understand if what you're saying is true, this wasn't being talked about as a kid for me.
No.
Or for you, maybe. I don't know. But now it's just being ramped up. It's on every show. Dude, I mean, it's on every feed that you look at.
You see the Super Bowl commercials that I saw some on Instagram? It was UFO stuff.
Yeah.
It's literally all gearing you to get ready.
Yeah, so they're just shoving it. They're just throwing it in your face, like, just to get you. It's, I guess you would call it predictive programming is the type of programming it is. You know, they have that with the different movies about
Walking Dead. And what came right after The Walking Dead in 2020?
COVID.
Yeah. All of these zombie movies, all of these pandemic movies were coming out.
Yep.
Now it's all aliens and UFO movies.
And there was that one movie, or the trailer for the movie of Civil War.
Yeah. Talk about, like, can you be more obvious? Like,
Yeah. And then the movie on Netflix, Leave the World Behind.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Is it good? Oh, man.
It's...
But it wasn't like it made by the Obamas?
It is. It's produced by the Obamas, but I didn't really like the movie itself. Everyone was ranting and raving about the movie. The end of the movie is trash, I thought. But it is pretty... I mean, the whole thing is predictive programming about how society will collapse and how people will react to it.
Do you think it was just them voicing their plan in the open? Because everything is a sign. They always have to broadcast what they're going to do before they do it.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, could this happen 20 years down the road? Could this happen 30 years down the road? I mean, when was the movie Independence Day filmed?
96?
96.
Was that in 96?
I believe so.
There's a lot of alien movies back then, too.
Yeah, there was. That was a bigger...
Well, I'll give you another example. So, Close Encounters... Have you seen the movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Yes, it was very lame.
Yeah, it's a lame movie, but that movie, Steven Spielberg got that information from the CIA about how UAPs float, move, all the colored lights.
Even the grays,
And he got that from the CIA, which, again, is another theory of how people create these different movies and these ideas. They're not really their ideas. It's things that actually happen from the CIA. The X-Files is an example of that.
Do you think the CIA and these agencies are the ones really running the show, or are they the muscle for the military-industrial complex companies and the private sector that's actually the true power behind them?
Yeah, I think they're just the muscle.
Yeah.
The corporations are the ones that have the most power.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense to me, which if we do get involved in a nuclear war, I don't see how that benefits the industrial
That's what I don't
military
understand.
Complex. How are you going to make money when everyone's dead? When cities are leveled and there's no more militaries to fight, you can't make weapons manufacturing off that because there's only one weapon being used.
So I got you there. I just thought of it just now. Is supposedly it's these military industrial complex companies that own the UAPs.
Oh, of course.
So
they're
the ones that are coming out.
Gosh. Oh my God. Of course. So they just introduced the next aerospace thing that they've been funding for years and that they've been pumping money into.
Yeah.
And it's just another reason for them to pump money into this as well.
Bro.
What's next after that is the question, because they have to keep making money.
I don't think at this point, is money even anything? Or is it more about power at that point, which is more valuable?
I think it's power. Yeah, I think you're right.
Isn't it power now?
Yeah, I think it's power now because they've made so much money where it's like you can literally buy or do anything that you could possibly imagine or not imagine.
It's power and it's resources.
Yeah.
Now it's become resources.
Yeah.
What was it that Elon Musk said that he was going to stand up against that recently? It was something that was either was like, I can't remember what it was, but he was like, I'm standing up against this. This is dumb. And I can't remember what it was in regards to, but he said essentially, and that's my other question is, it's like, is Elon part of that side or is, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't trust Elon Musk. I know he's done a lot for the culture war, but it's just like, he's also one of those guys that's like, we need to join with AI in order to beat AI. Like, that's the whole reason why he set up Neuralink is basically, if you want to be able to compete with a supercomputer, you need to have a supercomputer in your head.
Yeah.
Mixed with the abilities of a human, which that seems a little mark of the beastie.
Yeah.
To me.
I think it'd be more DNA centered, but I think.
Well, you're already doing that. Yeah. You're already fusing.
Well, they want to make the third strand. Yeah. It'd create the third strand of DNA.
With humans. I mean, like, again, I referenced the Bible. Like it said, people will seek death and not be able to find it.
So here's something interesting that kind of signifies a time or the sign of the times. Did you guys hear about the shark? I think it was in 2004, but they recently talked about it. And then something else happened very recently. There was an entire pod of whales that beached themselves in Australia. Now, off the coast of Australia is the deepest, I think the deepest part of the ocean. It's this huge trench. And there was a, I don't know if you guys heard about this. All right, so here, I'm going to tell this story. So what had happened was, is there was a great white, a 9-foot great white shark that had gotten tagged off the coast of South Africa, right? So it gets tagged, and months and months later, these beachgoers are walking on the beach, and they see this thing, and they're like, what in the heck is this? And they pick it up, and they says, you know, oh, return to this company or whatever. Call the number. It belongs to this scientist team. The scientists come and pick up this shark tag, right? Well, shark tags are all usually like stuck on the top next to the dorsal fin, like on their back, supposedly. And when they look at the data off this tag, it's ridiculous. All right. So what happened was, this shark is swimming along, goes and does its little migratory route. It goes to Australia, and when it goes to Australia, it swims over this trench, like this the deepest part of the ocean, right? Mm-hmm. It swims over it. And then all of a sudden, the shark starts swimming erratically straight down. Just starts going straight down. And in fact, the shark's depth was over, by the time it stopped moving, the shark was not moving erratically, it was past 1,000 feet deep, which is not normal. Great white sharks can't go 1,000 feet deep, right? Mm-hmm. Goes several, like almost a couple thousand feet deep. And then the body temperature of the tag, not the shark, the body temperature of the tag went from however cold it is down there to 78 degrees.
So it shifted temperature to significantly.
It immediately went from a few seconds, it's whatever the temperature of the water is down there, to immediately going to 78 degrees. And then it goes back and it gets, you know, populates back somewhere on this beach. So what's interesting is recently what happened was, is there was a whole pod of whales that beached themselves on this beach and they were freaking out, like trying to, they beached themselves, a whole pod of them. There's like 100 whales. It was a big deal. And the people were trying to get them back and they got several of the whales to go swim out and the whales went towards the direction of that trench and immediately swam straight back. So what was big enough to swallow a 9-foot great white shark? And there's also been other great whites they've been finding beached on shores, bitten in half. Like 13-foot great white shark, completely bitten in half.
Where did you get this story from?
Dude, it's on...
The well story is pretty easy to find, but yeah. the great white one, I'm trying to find that one.
So that one, go look, if it's I believe it was on Animal Planet or on Discovery Channel. It was one of those channels.
How long ago was this?
This happened in 2004.
The Wells were 2013 or 2023, not 13.
Yeah, it was recent. But
so 100 of them, 52 died. Yeah. And then they pretty much euthanized the rest of them that they couldn't.
They wouldn't. They tried going pushing them back out to the ocean, and they wouldn't go. So what was so big that scared a bunch of these freaking whales? What kind of whales was it?
Pilot.
Oh, pilot whales.
Yeah, pilot whales.
And also, what's big enough to swallow a great white shark 9 foot in one swallow?
Well, it was sucking it down, right?
Yeah.
Probably Leviathan.
Dude. So has anybody read, does anybody know what Leviathan is? You know what Leviathan is, right?
Yeah, it's a giant creature. I'm not going to say dinosaur because dinosaur was a made-up word that was integrated later into history.
So I think I've read about this.
It's a dragon.
It is essentially a fire-breathing water creature dragon that's mentioned in the book of Job. If you are wondering and you want to read about Leviathan, go to Job chapter 41. And you can read about Leviathan. And essentially, God's talking to Job and saying, hey, you think I can't handle your problems? I made these creatures, which you know about.
Uh-huh.
And he describes the largest land animal to have ever been made, which is the behemoth, which is actually, it eats plants, but it's the biggest one he's ever made. And the biggest water creature to have ever been made. And actually, something else that I read actually last night, and this was in Doug Van Dorn's book about giants, but it was... about Rahab, not the biblical character Rahab, but there is a sea monster that was also named Rahab, and it's mentioned multiple times in the Bible. So it's like, are those things waking back up? I know in Revelation it says that he will slay the Leviathan.
Right.
And it will be beached.
Why would they just disappear? If they were so out in the open during Job's times, why would they just hide? What are they hiding?
I wonder if they were put, like God, like, chained him down, like, hey, you've been put down for a little while,
and he wouldn't kill him.
Yeah,
maybe they're just
they're dormant.
Yeah, until the proper time.
Do you think there's megalodons still?
I don't know. Again, when you have the powers that be, they just won't let you have or see giant bones.
Yeah.
Who knows what else they found that they just hide? You know what I mean? Maybe they did find megalodon teeth. And we just don't know about it because they're just showing you the small, great white teeth, you know, from centuries ago.
Yeah.
You know, so if they can suppress one thing, what's stopping them from suppressing everything else?
The question is, it goes back to why. Why suppress it?
It proves the Bible. It proves the Bible true.
And is that simple?
I think it's that simple.
Yeah.
I mean, in order to create a one-world government, you have to undermine the other religions.
Yeah.
And because you have to create the false one, in order to create the false one, you have to undermine all the other ones. And what better to undermine the biggest one, right? The world's largest religion, which is Christianity. And the one that happens to be is the truth, right? Is the true one.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
The more over the target you are, the more... that pressure, the more that they try and tell the opposite narrative. Again, Christians talking about giants, talking about how all of this stuff is true, end times. It's like they want to constantly divert it, look over here, hide this, shove this away. But like it says, it shall be in the days of Noah. It'll be like the days of Noah, which... folks out there, read about the days of Noah, right? We talked about Genesis 6, talking about how literally all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to get to a point where it's going to be so obvious, but there is a diversionary tactic that's going to show itself otherwise to counter that. And obviously it's going to get pretty bad if that's what they're comparing it to.
I mean, if you look at like even some of the texts and books that are written just by secular authors, like The Fourth Turning, it's mathematically inevitable.
Yeah.
Which have you about The Fourth Turning?
Yeah.
So here, explain The Fourth Turning.
So The Fourth Turning, the simplest way to explain The Fourth Turning is that every 80 to 100 years depends on the length of the turning, but the United States, a nation, a group of people, a civilization, will go through a winter, which is basically a major turmoil that happens to that civilization. From that, you have a destruction of it to a degree, and then you have, that comes after that, the springtime, which is the rebirth of that. So based on that cataclysm, based on that conflict that you have that's inevitable, it's going to happen because it goes in cycles, based on the outcome of that, your society is going to create something new. Whether that new society or that new something is good or bad, right, that's to be determined, but something new is going to come out of it. And that cycle happens every 80 to 100 years, right? So you have the American Revolution, right? Fast forward 80 years, you got the Civil War, almost exactly 80 years, pretty much exactly 80 years. Fast forward 80 years from the Civil War, you have World War II. Fast forward exactly 80 years from the height of World War II, you have 2025. So you have possibility of civil war, you have inflation, you have the possibility of World War III, you got AI on the horizon that could kill everyone.
UFOs.
Right? UFOs, UAPs. You know, name the problem, we got it.
Yeah.
That are all happening at one time at the peak of what would be the fourth turning.
Now understand, with the fourth turning thing, this was a mathematical equation that was built by two mathematicians in the 90s.
Yeah, they're not even historians.
All the stuff they predicted was in the 90s. The book came out in 96 or 94, yeah, and maybe 98, whatever, in the 90s. But what's wild about it is they were showing every human civilization since the dawn of history has gone through these stages of turning.
Yeah.
Mathematically. And it also goes, they also kind of dig into how it also depends on like how the parents of the very first portion of that civilization raised their kids, how those kids were raised in the new civilization and how that affected how they raised their kids. And those kids were raised now in a civilization that was kind of older and had more things established, and that dictated how they raised their next generation of kids. So like, it's really interesting, and it's funny because he describes like the millennials, he describes Gen X, he describes Gen Z or whatever, to a T, like exactly, yeah, like, oh yeah, they're, and this is in the 90s. He's like, this is how that generation will be. It'll be just like this. And he's like, wait, this wasn't written like in 2021 or whatever. Nope. It was written in the 90s.
Yeah, it's crazy, especially as a millennial talking about millennials.
Yeah.
Like, think about everything that millennials were into. Things with, they're very team-based, group organized. What is everything that we watched? Power Rangers, right? Transformers, Ninja Turtles, groups, teams, fighting crime and doing good, like
playing with Pogs.
All right, he was playing with Pogs. I was watching Power Rangers. But millennials are very team, group oriented. They want community. They want groups of people coming together, using different skills to come together to achieve a goal.
Captain Planet.
Yeah, it was Captain Planet alone, but he had his dorky friends with him.
I didn't watch Captain Planet.
Nobody watched Captain Planet.
I did.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I loved his green hair.
Yeah.
Look up Captain Planet. You'll see what a study was.
This is my first time hearing of Captain Planet.
Yeah, well, Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Captain Planet. What a
Captain
Toad.
I mean, he's great. He's saving the planet.
Captain Toad.
Yeah, Captain friggin'. Oh, remember Battle Toads?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. Anyway, so keep going.
Yeah, anyway, so millennials, again, really gravitate towards those types of characters.
Yeah.
And you can see that now with preparing, what you guys are doing with your building community, right? Getting people together to...
Captain Planet. Just looking at a picture of him.
Why don't you describe him for the viewers at home?
Why don't you just pull it up? Just pull it up on the screen.
So I don't have the... it's not connected. So funny. So you guys go look it up, so... Chris, I wish I could pull up a side-by-side right now.
Yeah.
You only like Captain Planet because you look similar.
What, I got green hair? Yeah.
For the exception of, I mean, the hairstyle. I mean, if you kind of let the back grow out a little bit, gave yourself a little bit of a mullet.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a mullet. That's true.
I'm kind of digging his mullet.
Yeah.
Who were his sidekicks?
Oh, I don't even know. Let's see.
Who were Captain Planet's sidekicks? Remember? Were they children?
Yes.
Yes. Here we go.
He had the Planeteers.
The Planeteers. chairs. I mean, the planet freaking toads.
So anyway, to my point, groups of people coming together, millennials gravitate towards that.
1990.
Cheese and rice.
Yeah, 90s, man.
1990. Sweet. The blockbuster days.
Yeah.
First episode, September 15th, 1990.
Yeah, it was part of my Saturday morning cartoon routine.
Yeah, remember Saturday morning cartoons?
Yeah, X-Men.
Does that still even happen?
Gargoyles? I couldn't watch Gargoyles.
That was too... not allowed to watch
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
Gargoyles were awesome.
Yes,
Roy was allowed to watch it.
Yeah. I could watch whatever.
My parents forbade me to watch X-Men because... they said it proved the theory of evolution because X-Men were the next level of evolution of human being.
Yeah. Mm.
And they were like, we don't believe that. I don't care how cool Wolverine is.
You're not watching it.
You're not a mutant. So because it was evolutionary,
yeah,
they wouldn't allow me to watch it.
Dude, there is, remember the like Darkwing Duck, DuckTales?
Yeah.
Oh, also, did you ever watch Wishbone?
Yeah.
This dog that would teach you about history and like classical literature.
Yeah. Hmm. Never got into Wishbone.
Yeah, never got into that one either.
Oh, really? Yeah, me neither.
I was definitely more Power Rangers, Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtles heavy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that
I loved
the universe.
Ninja Turtles. I mean, it was.
And Batman. Batman, the original, I can't remember what it was called.
The animated series, yeah.
Yeah, that was, it was actually kind of dark.
Oh, yeah.
Like Joker was pretty dark in that.
Yeah, Batman's always been dark. So.
Yeah. But good shows. And again, it catered towards millennials.
Yeah, so anyways, teamwork.
Yeah.
Even Batman had a team.
Yes. Batwoman, Robin, Alfred, Barbara, Commissioner Gordon.
Catwoman.
I don't know if she was an ally or an enemy.
Yeah.
I think she was a side piece for him.
Side piece. He had a lot of side pieces.
He did. He is a scumbag.
Rich billionaire, philanthropist.
Say that five times.
Philanthropist.
Philanthropist.
Anyway.
I was on that. I'm right on the cusp of the millennial Gen X. And
yeah.
So I'm 82.
Are you a Gen Xial?
Yeah, Gen Xial.
But even Gen X, like, he was spot on about how, like, they're very defiant against the system. Like, think about all the grunge music.
Yeah.
Just, like, that type of music was very anti-government, anti-system. And I kind of gravitate towards that.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of the people they're also very independent. They're kind of opposite of millennials. Mm-hmm. Where millennials like to group together, they kind of are off on their own thing, right?
Yeah.
Into their own thing. Skateboarding.
Yeah.
I skateboarded.
BMX.
BMX.
I rode motocross.
Bikes. Motocross.
Anything that had to do... doing it by myself, basically.
Yeah.
X Games and Jackass.
I pretty much still don't know their chapter.
Is Gen X, yeah.
I pretty much still don't like people.
Well, you're here with us. Yeah, you must like us.
But, yeah.
A couple of millennials.
He's allowed to watch Gargoyles.
He's a different breed of person.
Yeah. Did that show even last very long? How long was Gargoyles?
It was a very popular show.
They had all the toys and everything.
I remember. Dude, do you remember Street Sharks?
Street
Shark? Street Shark?
What is that?
The world's worst show, but for some reason, I wanted a Street Shark.
What is a Street Shark?
Look it up. Street Sharks, dude. It was the dumbest show I've ever seen.
Next episode, I got to make sure I have the laptop plugged into this.
Yeah, exactly. I'll put it up in post, but Street Sharks, dude. If you remember Street Sharks, dude, and then Pokemon came out, which was like a big...
Oh, dude, Street Sharks.
You remember Street Sharks,
I know what Street Sharks are.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's not real. You just made it up.
No, straight up. Street Sharks, it's ridiculous. Yeah. They even had Street Shark gummies. Like, my mom got me Street Shark gummies. Yeah. Which were healthy snacks because they said made with real fruit.
Yeah, think about that.
Made with real fruit.
Fruit roll-ups.
0.01% fruit juice. Yeah.
Fruit roll-ups were healthy.
Yeah, right. Exactly, yeah.
Anything in my house, my mom, anything that had the name fruit in it.
Yeah.
Oh,
is healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Freaking, my mom would be like, hey, PB&J every day for lunch and dinner.
Yeah.
Or not lunch and dinner.
Because peanut butter has the proper amount of
protein.
And then you're eating
sugars.
Fruit.
Yeah, fruit. Yeah, the jelly was fruit. Jelly. Yeah, yeah.
And then you're getting your one of your right there at the top of the, you know, the food pyramid.
Yeah, which
you're
is getting, such a scam.
You're getting your carbohydrates and you're getting your wheat in.
Yeah, your wheat.
Your fiber. You're actually getting your fiber.
Have you heard
how much they've pushed fiber for so long?
Have you heard about why they pushed fiber for so long?
Why?
It was straight up. It was a 100%. The FDA had signed all of these contracts and agreements with the grain industries.
Yeah.
Like the Kellogg's and all stuff. They were like, oh, yeah. And so the food companies who are making all this artificial bullcrap were the ones that designed the food pyramid and presented it to the FDA.
Yeah, that's why Fruit Loops was on the base of the pyramid. And it's like, what yeah,
Fruit Loops. But it's Fruit Loops.
Yeah,
it's got
right.
fruit in it.
It's got fruit
in
it. Freaking,
yeah, exactly. Point, yeah.
Got fruit.
Pretty sure Fruit Loops are just gay Cheerios.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that food pyramid had an all-seeing eye at the top of it, too. So,
just oh, yeah? Just probably just a boiled egg looking
yeah,
around.
Right. Yeah. But even that, like we just talked about, like lies, like yeah. that's complete lie.
A lie, everything.
Yeah.
They just came out with a study that said that red meat is actually healthy for you and can prevent a lot of diseases, which they've told us for so long that red meat is like, oh, bad don't eat red health. Meat.
You know why?
High in cholesterol.
Because you're going to live in a pod. You're going to eat bugs, and you're going to be happy about owning nothing.
Right. Yeah, you're not going to be able to eat red meat. You're going to have to eat whatever.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, have you seen the thing about the iPhone or the phones pushing out the whole one world system messaging? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's on either new iPhones or new Samsungs. But the World Economic Forum's commercial, when you get your phone, you turn it on, is the first thing that pops up. Is the World Economic Forum statement
New phones that you just recently purchased?
Yes, for 2030, the 2030 plan.
Really?
Build back better.
Yep.
I have to see that.
I'll send it to you. It was on Instagram, and someone had actually screen recorded the ad that was embedded in your phone, like it's permanently a part of your phone, and it's the World Economic Forum Build Back Better 2030 plan.
Yikes.
Captain Planet's involved in it.
Captain Planet. Captain Planet was probably funded by the United Nations World. Right. I mean, its name is Captain Planet.
Yeah, it's literally like...
It's not Captain
what's
America.
The lamest hero we can come... I got one. The Planeteers and Captain Planet.
Planeteers. They all had different rings.
Gosh.
It was like
give
heart,
them a sword or something?
Fire, water.
Like, at least Power Rangers had robots that were killing monsters.
They were pretty cool. They would combine together.
Wimbledon, my ring. Got your ring, you freaking trash bag.
Yeah. Yeah, grown men wearing jewelry.
Talk about horrible acting.
Yeah.
The Power Rangers.
Did you hear about the one Power Ranger horrible. That went to prison for murder?
Wouldn't surprise me.
So there was a Power Ranger. I think it was maybe it was the Red Ranger. Anyways, it was a kid.
Tell me it wasn't Tommy.
I don't know if it was Tommy, but
he looked bad from the start.
One of the Power Rangers, when he was a kid, he was in the Power Rangers show, all this other stuff, ended up like getting out of Hollow, doing a bunch of drugs, all this stuff, ends up being a turd, right? Mm-hmm. A scumbag. He goes to buy a boat from this retired couple. The husband was retiring from the police department as a detective or a captain, something like that. And this is in California. And he gets a hold of him in the Yellow Pages. He's like, hey, man, I'd like to check out your boat. It's like a really nice boat. He's like, I'm interested in buying it. So the guy's like, yeah, yeah, come on out. And he's like, oh, yeah, I brought a couple of my buddies with me. And, you know, that's my brother or my cousin or whatever. And they were not family members. And so the dude takes him and his wife, and they go on the boat, and they go out to go do a test run, right? Like a functions check. They get out far enough, and they end up knocking out the dude, knocking out the wife. When they wake up, they have a huge weight tied to their feet, and they threw them both overboard in the middle of the ocean.
Wow.
Never found the bodies. But it was, I think they, some reason, it was like a welfare check that was done. They found out what happened. The dude confessed.
Who remembers?
It was a Power Ranger?
It was a Power Ranger actor.
Jeez.
That did that.
Do you remember searching the classifieds for things that were for sale? Your parents?
No.
When they needed to find something.
My dad was too busy typing on his palm.
Am I dating
pilot.
Myself now?
It's palm pilot.
Then your parents never searched the classifieds where they'd open up the news, you'd get the Sunday newspaper.
Uh-huh.
And then there would be a section in there where people would have things for sale. Like you want to buy a dining room table or a TV, whatever, and they would post it. They would pay to have it posted in there and put their phone number and everything. And
maybe they did. My parents never had newspapers. I never saw newspapers.
My parents never read the newspaper.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
My dad had Palm Pilot. He had a USB thumbnail, like a thumb, and he wore it on his neck, and it was a 4 megabyte thumbnail.
Nice. Mm. Comes in handy.
Yeah. Back when it was like, what, you're using floppy disk still? Does anybody know what a floppy disk is that's younger than this?
Oh, yeah.
Floppy disk still, like, controls nuclear weapons.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because it's all analog.
Yeah.
You hear about
this?
They
haven't updated anything?
They don't, because you can't connect the nuclear... They don't want to... They don't want to connect nuclear weapons to the web, to the internet.
Makes sense. Yeah. Smart.
So it's a closed circuit network.
It's the only smart thing.
Yeah. It's the only smart thing we've done.
That we're developing AI. Of course, AI will figure out a path to it.
Of course.
Well, AI will figure out a path.
UFOs have already shut down the nuclear weapons before. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It was a show of force. So, like, this is what's crazy. This was, I think, in the 90s. There's multiple times it has happened, but they essentially, there'd be UFOs that would fly over the base in Montana. The UFO would hover over top and it would start activating. Like the dude was like, all of a sudden, it's impossible. It's not on the network. It's not anything. It's all analog. And all of a sudden, the nuclear weapons would start arming and firing up the engines to be shot out. Or they would like shut it down where it's like, boop. You have no control. You can't access the weapons. You can't turn them on, nothing.
That is just Raytheon testing out its product.
Could be.
On our government.
Honestly, that could be, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, they have the technology. Like, we talked about Skinwalker Ranch, Robert Bigelow. Can't release the data that he found on Skinwalker Ranch.
What?
Yeah, and then creates Bigelow Aerospace.
Yeah.
Like... Are we going to connect the easy A to B dot on that one? That's pretty easy one. Like, he got the technology because he found stuff there and then created it.
And they were like, actually, just don't say anything. You can keep the stuff. Just you say anything, we'll kill you.
All right, I'll just build my own aerospace with anti-grav vehicles. And that's what he did.
Yeah.
Who knows what he makes, but that could just be a front for the actual technology that he actually found there.
Mm. Do you think that the UFO phenomenon is going to ramp up heavily in the next 3 to 4 years? And what do you think that would look like? How do you think that would start interacting with society? How do you think they'd condition us more than what they already are?
It's hard to imagine them conditioning us than they already are.
Do you think it's going to be real activity, or do you think it's going to be a lot of basically AI-generated fake stuff?
You could argue that it already is interacting with us. Take the Lahaina fires,
bro,
or some sort of Chinese space weapon.
There's a bunch of fires that are happening, I think, in Spain, very similar to Lahaina in Hawaii.
Yeah. So a lot of people say that's aircraft doing that. You know, that could be a way of interacting, but we just don't know it yet. There was that one FBI whistleblower, remember, who came on Redacted, who actually wrote shows for the X-Files because they came to him. Forget what his name is.
I know
D'Souza, John D'Souza.
Yeah, John D'Souza. Yeah.
Says that it's 100% going to ramp up to the point where they're actually going to be shooting down airliners.
That's what was crazy to me.
Yeah.
Shooting down fighter jets.
Shooting down fighter jets, airliners. Like, actually making them out to be the bad guy to what he said, exactly the final phase is to unite people around a common enemy. Because presidents made speeches about that.
See, I wonder, though, are they going to unite it around a common enemy or a common problem that's human-derived, a.k.a. the nuclear problem?
Maybe. What do you mean by the nuclear problem?
Meaning, if there's a nuclear conflict, it is going to require an outside source to stop it.
Oh, yeah.
That is the next phase of technology that stops the next world war. Just like nuclear was the one to stop World War II. That's what ended it, because we had conventional weapons. We go to nuclear, it literally stopped the war.
Mm.
So if we have a world war, again, that's mostly nuclear fought, what stops that?
Yeah,
what
but where does AI come into play?
What does technology happen that is so significant that it stops a nuclear war?
I think that it could stop a nuclear war in the sense where it's like, this is way more monumental. Why are we shooting nukes at each other?
Oh, and before it happens, they just shut everything down?
Yeah.
Ooh. Didn't think about that. Yeah. What if they did shut everything down before it was able to destroy? Or do you think they need to depopulate the planet anyways, so might as well just get a couple of them off?
Yeah.
But you depopulate, and how much, I mean, you just basically destroy so many resources.
I don't think they care.
We're already depopulating ourselves. Yeah, though. I was gonna say. It's like they've already are kind of achieving half the objective already because nobody's having kids, nobody's getting married, nobody wants to get married, nobody even wants to have sex anymore.
No, they want you to have sex with the same sex,
or an AI girlfriend.
Yeah, so, did you hear about the AI robot girlfriend. Thing?
Yeah, AI.
Girlfriend.
What do you think Apple Vision is going to be?
Bro.
It's literally just a gateway to indoctrinate your brain with more pornography.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, can you imagine?
I mean, the amount of, I mean, you already have, what is the virtual video games that people play? What is it? The stuff they wear on their goggles? What are they called?
Virtual reality.
Yeah, virtual reality. You already have so much virtual
reality. What's that virtual reality stuff people play with?
Virtual reality.
Listen, it's been a long day.
My brain has been a long day. You're tired.
My brain is not working.
But it's like people are going to use that as an escape where they don't even need to try or put effort to making a relationship with someone or talking with anyone. Yes. Or
Japan's going through that right now with their population. They're not having kids. They turn into hermits, essentially. And they're addicted
people are already hermits. Kids are already hermits.
Yeah.
Do you know how hard it is for... I have to force my son to talk to people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's...
I have to force my son to stop talking to people.
And there is... There comes a point in time where, you know, because kids have... And we're all... You know, I'm guilty of it just as any other parent would be. They've been allowed so many other types of things to stimulate them that they forgot how to communicate with people. So, like, that was part of the thing that he needed that when he graduated high school. It's like, okay, well, now you didn't get to learn how to properly communicate to people in high school because he went through a portion of high school under COVID,
right?
So you know, learning on a computer for the most part, not learning from a human being sitting there talking to you and having intelligent discussions back and forth, to now being graduated, like, now you got to learn how to talk to people. You gotta be able to place in, like, if we go to a restaurant, like, make my daughter place her own food order.
Yeah.
Because she's afraid to talk to people.
Right.
Yeah. You know what's funny is my son, we're very, very rigid about his screen time and my daughter's screen time. Like, they don't have, like, he just got an iPad, but he's allowed to use it specifically for research, and it's only a certain time window for that research or to maybe use Messenger, kids' Messenger, to message his friends and his co-op. But it's interesting seeing him, who loves talking to everybody, and talking to him, seeing him try to interact with other kids who don't talk to people. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "You're an alien," like trying to figure out why aren't you saying anything? Yeah, like it's crazy, like how much, you know.
Not to interrupt you, but what you find, like what I have seen, is it's not that they don't know how to interact with people. It's only they only know how to interact with their direct people that are in their circle. They don't have any will or desire to interact with anyone. Like my daughter, she'll interact with all her friends.
Yeah,
she has a bunch of them.
Because she knows she's not going to be rejected by her inner circle people.
Correct. And that's what it comes down to. Yeah. And the same thing with my son. And it's like, you have to learn. Of course, now he's learning because he's in the adult world and having to work. He chose not the path of college. Mm-hmm. Chose the path of working. And
the best choice of his life.
In a trade. So now he's learning. He's learning what rejection is. At the end of the day, he learned what it was to get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, from his first job.
That's important.
So. Yeah.
So just to give you an example of that with hiring people at my job, it's a mess. I mean, like, to get people to work the wage that we're paying, that's a whole different story, but to actually, if they're giving me a one word answer, like I'm not hiring you.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to give me more than one word, especially when your entire job is communicating with people, greeting people, how was your day today? Like, we literally train our people at the shake bar to make conversation with people. That's why they want to come back to get shakes, is because they enjoy having a stimulating conversation with someone. Hey, how was your workout? What'd you do today? What'd you hit today? Arms, legs, back, buys, what'd you do? Can't even do that. if you can't, if you're just giving me one word answers in the interview, sorry. Like, and that's most people. That's most of the applicants that are there.
I would say also, though, to add to your point, I've seen multiple culture and, you know, social media videos of people saying, I've put in 79 applications this week and gotten zero phone calls back.
Yeah.
So there's a massive amount of open jobs, but people that are actually going out and trying to apply them aren't getting the job. So what's happening? I don't understand. Like, if there's a huge, massive amount of jobs, where are they? And the people who are putting in 79 applications a week, not getting any return calls.
I think you're getting a couple of things. You're getting of the generation of my generation that are applying for jobs, and the way you apply for a job now is completely different than when I did when I was 20, 21 years old.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But the people I'm talking about are young.
Yeah.
It's the young 20-year-old.
Dude, I've witnessed it. I see how they apply for jobs.
It's
pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. Like there's zero effort that's involved in it. It's, you know, it's apply for the job on the company website, put the application in, and if you don't get a phone call back, they just don't call them. They don't do anything. They're not putting any effort towards it. So
I mean, the military is experiencing that now.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to do anything.
Yeah. It's
well, no one wants to do anything in any job.
Even worth getting out of bed.
Well, think about it. So COVID comes along. Okay, so you have this entire, you know, working force of Americans that are going to their job, they're clocking into their offices and everything like that. Then COVID comes along, and then, you know, everyone gets to start to work at home. Mm-hmm. Okay, companies start to determine, okay, well, you know, who the lazy people are, because mm-hmm. now you're at home, now you're even going to be more lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then who the people that are actually productive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the people that are productive, they're finding that they're more productive actually at home because they don't have to, they can do more jobs done.
Yeah.
They can get more jobs done because now they're in their own environment by mm-hmm. themselves. They're more comfortable and they can actually just get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, you've had this entire time frame through COVID. And now after that has reprogrammed to how the workforce is even what it looks like now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not even the same anymore. I mean, so many jobs that are just done from home now,
mm-hmm.
and companies just, okay, you hire you, and if you don't hit the productivity level, you don't hit this mark in this level, boom, you're fired, whatever, gone.
Yeah.
You're gone. And we'll move on to the next.
There's a company recently that said that they are doing away with working from home.
Yeah.
There's multiple big businesses that I saw. They were like, "Nope, we're not doing working from home anymore."
But there's so many big businesses that are okay with it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because the amount of applicants are there, and if they just don't hit the level of productivity, they just move on to the next person because there's so many people. The pool is so large, and now their operating cost is so much lower. They don't have to pay a lease. They don't have to pay a mortgage. They don't have to pay a light bill. They don't have to pay any of that stuff mm-hmm. on these massive buildings. Think about this. You got an entire office. You got a human resource. The company I used to work for had a human resource office that had 50 people in it just doing human resource jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about the size of an office that it takes just to have 50 people in there. And that's not, I mean, we're not talking about a multi-billion dollar company.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have that overhead. So, yeah,
right.
I mean,
that's why a whole lot of,
are they getting the productivity they want and need out of that to be able to maintain revenue stream? If people are working from home and not as incentivized to work.
I think with automated systems, AI, yeah,
that's what's
things like that,
they'll replace them.
Now you get one employee that's very productive that mm-hmm. also knows how to work around with the AI systems and automated systems, mm-hmm. everything being automated. The productivity goes up to a certain level. It now becomes so high. Okay. Well, this one individual with this particular program, this automation system, can do the work of 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Now I just hire this guy in, pay him $250,000 or she, you know, $250,000 and they do the job of 10 people, you know? I mean, look at Amazon. How many billions of dollars Amazon has dumped into their automation just for shipping and the way their entire system works.
I heard that they're actually impressive. Getting more involved into like robots replacing physical workers to package things, and it's AI involved to be their able to
cameras,
sort packages.
Their cameras recognize everything.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely everything. Their entire automation system recognizes everything. It recognizes the mood of the employee for the most part.
That I did hear. They also track like how long their bathroom breaks are.
They track how long their bathroom breaks is. They track their steps that they're moving in between from package to package, or what they're, how, you know.
Dude, can you imagine that?
They're cutting into efficiency. How far do I have to reach for the tape gun?
Man.
You know?
So
you're like a robot.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you are. You're a robot. They're programming you to, at some point in time, that one individual that's really, really efficient is going to be operating the robot.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that robot is taking the job of multiple people because it cuts on.
And it works 24 hours around the clock, and it doesn't take a break.
Doesn't take a break. Doesn't need PTO time. Doesn't need benefits.
Nope.
So
think about this. So sorry to interrupt you. Okay, just as us as
but you did interrupt me.
Sorry.
but you just did.
This subject. All right. This is my little bit of my. So I'm split between Gen X and Millennial. So this is my anti, you know, government, anti everything rant. For us as a small business, and I've operated small businesses for a while now. the fees that get paid. Okay, so you pay a federal income tax, correct?
Yeah.
Here in the state of Florida, we don't pay state tax.
Correct.
We income tax, we pay a federal income tax, okay? So whatever your federal income tax is that comes out of your paycheck per month, let's just say it's $300, okay? Your Social Security tax, okay? Your Medicare tax that comes out. You pay those, correct?
Yep.
Well, your employer also pays those.
Yes.
They have to match that.
Yes.
So, for instance, like us, as a small business, I'm trying to pay ourselves a paycheck, and I'm budgeting ourselves, and I turn around and pay myself a paycheck. If I pay myself really, really good this particular month, and now I'm paying all these fees, there's no benefit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like they take everything that you have. They don't want you to have anything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's infuriating.
It's so infuriating.
Yeah.
Literally $1,700 in the past whatever month that's just pissed away to the government.
Yeah.
In the state.
Yeah, that they're going to throw away.
They're not throwing it away. It's going to Ukraine.
Re-unemployment.
Like I said, throwing it away.
You ever heard of re-unemployment insurance?
Re-unemployment. Re-employment.
I can't even say it now.
Re-employment?
Re-employment, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't talk. Because I'm so infuriated. Yeah. The money that just gets pissed away and we just...
I can't even make words anymore.
Yeah, I can't even make words. It starts to irritate me. You ever heard of that?
What?
Re-employment insurance.
Re-employment insurance?
I have not, no.
So as an employer,
mm-hmm.
you have to pay the state based on how much money that you're paying your employees
mm-hmm.
in insurance. For whenever that employee, you know, you fire them or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
That they collect unemployment.
Oh, so there's a whole separate insurance that Correct. Businesses pay.
Correct, to the state. It's basically your
Is that mandated? Do they have to have that?
Yeah, it's mandated. It's mandated.
All right.
So here's my question.
So if I get fired tomorrow, at least I'll have...
You'll at least get unemployment. But here's the thing. Think about this. There is someone spending that money for food and... gas and rent and electricity that your taxes are paying for, and they get it in a card as soon as they cross the border.
They do. In New York City, they're getting a card where they are allocated
money.
Yeah.
Think about that. And how much are they getting taxed?
Nothing.
Before I interrupt you, Chris, where were you going? Even now.
My gosh, that was a million thoughts ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my question was with AI. If that is the path of least resistance for AI to take over jobs that humans can do and they can do it better, what job do you think a human should know now that AI will not be able to take over, that a human is always going to do better?
Any analog chore or task that makes you be able to survive when you're disconnected from society.
Example.
Farming, gardening, how to hunt. Doing everything that you can as far as skill-wise.
But that's not a job, it's survival.
You have to disconnect. If you don't want to be a part of society, if you want to not be a cog in that wheel, I think down the road eventually it will be you have to disconnect completely.
But so there is no job.
I don't think so. I really don't.
car mechanic, doctor.
I mean, think about this. How likely is it that a mechanic's job will eventually be replaced by a automated robot system?
Well, I mean, as vehicles become more automated.
Because now it's Tesla, you just get an update.
Yeah, they're robots already.
Correct. So as vehicles become more robotic,
mm-hmm.
with all the electronics in them, I mean, they literally just plug it into a machine. So the vehicle itself will go into its own drive mode, drive up onto a lift or whatever it is, and it connects itself into this machine.
Get an update.
And it corrects whatever the virus is or whatever the issue, whatever the error code is in it.
Yeah.
It corrects on it on its own. So.
And then it collects your unemployment insurance.
No.
I mean, the only other part that they got to get rid of is they got to get rid of rubber. They got to get rid of tires, true. Right? So.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you can. No, a robot can change tires.
Or if it hovers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robots can change tires.
I was thinking something along the lines of religion, because religion provides a human aspect of things that have.
Yeah, religion has to have a human aspect, but they're trying to rewrite religion with AI.
Well, religion will go away if there's UAPs. And that becomes known, and it becomes something where it's there. Now you're worshiping those entities and those beings as deities because they came before.
Right.
They came at the time of the Messiah. They came at the time. They were angels throughout the Bible. That's who they were.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, those peasants didn't know any better, and they were really seeing UFOs is essentially how they're going to argue it.
Yeah, so, okay. So you just burst my bubble. There is nothing. There's literally no job that can be done that AI will not do better.
I think that's what Elon Musk is nervous about. I think it's just general, how much the human will be taken out of the equation to the point where the human is no longer not just an annoyance or a nuisance, but it's a detriment to the AI system. It's literally Terminator.
So when do we as a society determine to just stop using AI?
Right now it's
a convenience, right?
It is a convenience.
But how does everything start?
As a convenience.
As a convenience, right? So
you have to willingly choose the inconvenient, more expensive road.
So you get you're now embedded with this convenience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 20 years from now, it's the only thing that your kids know. They only know that convenience.
And now it becomes like, I have to have this.
They don't even know how to live without it.
They don't know any different.
That plays into the fourth turning and why the fourth turning is written the way it is. It goes back to things that kids are born and raised in that environment of society that they are given that cause them to behave in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But do you think, because we're encountering AI, it's something that we've never encountered before, how does that change the whole dynamic of the fourth turning?
I mean, you gotta think about this. They've never encountered electricity before back in the day, and now it became normal. Right? You never had to think about, man, back when
the electricity was not going to take over the world.
But think about this. When electricity came out, the telephone came out, the radio came out, the TV came out,
we adapt
to the moon. You know what I'm saying?
Just adapt. Like, humans just go with the flow.
Yeah, but the electricity itself was not able to replace a human being in doing.
They replaced the lamplighters.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of other jobs. We're talking about literally humans having no purpose or existence on the earth.
Yeah.
That's new. That's uncharted territory.
Mm-hmm.
We've never dealt with that before.
Do you think we're coming towards the end?
I mean, it would seem that way, but I know that a lot of other generations have said the same thing, and they haven't.
Yeah.
So back to the question is, so when do we stop using AI for the convenience? When do college students stop using it to write papers? When do people stop utilizing it to generate?
When they're forced to pick something else if it breaks down or is destroyed or there's something better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't
think it's
the only way. I think it's inevitable. Society as a whole is not going to stop using it.
Which is something that is part of the fourth turning, right? There's a destruction and something new, different, has to take over.
Right.
What is that? Don't know.
Mm.
It's the season of rebirth. Whatever that looks like, good, bad, or indifferent.
So what are some, because I want to kind of get final thoughts on here to close this out. For the next podcast episode, I kind of wanted to dive into the giants and how that narrative has been hidden.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that will play a part in the unveiling of what is going to be coming right? Mm-hmm. So the UFO thing, the giants, all of these things, if it's according to Revelation going to be the same as the days of Noah, we have to look at all the things that Noah experienced in his day and what will be coming if that's what Scripture says truly. So right. What are some final thoughts you have kind of that you want to leave with the audience to close out this conversation but lead into the next?
Read the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, read your Bible. There's a lot of evidence. There's a lot of things that you talked about that you mentioned that are clues along the way. People see the Bible as like a historical ancient document, but it's the oldest historical
ancient document.
Right. And it really is one of the best historical documents because, especially the life of Jesus, it's written from multiple accounts and they all don't disprove each other. They all prove each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. And it is a historical document, right? And it really gives the pathway to what's coming. I mean, we talked about Genesis, but like read the Bible, read Revelation, right? Read the book of Revelation and kind of see what we're talking about, how that plays into what we're talking about, and then make a judgment for yourself. I mean, obviously, as Christians, we use the Holy Spirit, the discernment of the Holy Spirit, but I mean, that's what I would say. Because like I mentioned before, that is the only truth that we have.
Yeah.
So you better be grounded in it.
Especially when everything is, who knows, it's all deception.
Yeah, right. Constantly being lied to, constantly wishy-washy, people that, again, institutions totally corrupted.
Even videos now.
Yeah, sure. Even something in front of your own eyes, you could be lied to, which is kind of a terrifying experience. Yeah, your own eyes can deceive you in the time that we live in now with the technology we have.
That's crazy.
So, wild stuff.
Yeah. Well,
we've had three cameras melt down on us today again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we're working with two cameras, so you guys get to see Chris's lovely face and then the table view. You haven't seen much of my face.
Oh, gosh. So it's those two Sonys, huh?
Yeah, so we keep having camera issues, so hopefully we'll get that figured out for you guys. Yeah. Before we dive out of here, we know what time it is. Chris, I don't think you wore a special shirt today.
Didn't wear a special shirt, but we got to do an accent.
You got to do an accent.
Oh, man.
What do we do?
How about impression and an accent of Chris Brown?
Let's do something alien.
How about South African?
Oh, South African. That's good.
I don't even know what that sounds
exactly.
like.
Exactly. It's perfect.
Hold on. What was it? Captain Planet? Is that what it was?
Yeah, Captain Planet.
Give me your best Captain Planet.
In South African.
What? Captain Impossible.
Give me your best Captain Planet. It doesn't have to be South
My
African.
Brain is melting right now. Yeah. I can't even figure that out. I can't even process that. I don't even know what South African sounds like.
Just pick it, pull it out of the air. If you were to be in South Africa, you're trying to blend in with the populace, telling them about Captain Planet.
You're giving me the best one-liner from Captain Planet.
I don't even remember any lines from that. The only thing I can think of with South Africa is Blood Diamond.
There you go. Perfect reference.
That's Send not it. South African, is it?
Yeah.
Send it.
You got my diamonds, Breeze.
Yeah, one diamond. That's pretty close. That's pretty good.
It was Rhodesian. I don't even know if that was South African. That was more Rhodesian,
but I'll take it.
That was perfect. That's what that was.
So there it is.
Thanks,
Chris. You enjoy that, folks.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, as Captain Planet would say, thanks for checking out another episode. And we will catch you on the next one. Make sure you tune in for next week's episode. It'll be published on Wednesday. Same bat time, same bat channel. And also check out our main YouTube channel, The Brown Hatchet Show. And I guess we'll see you. All right, bye.
Bye.